So the JAF SGP in Trinidad and Tobago has been in operation since 1995, and over that time we've funded over 100 projects and probably programmed about $4 million in funding, specifically in the areas of biodiversity, climate change, international waters, chemicals, and land degradation. Specifically, we have two groups that have been working in the area of marine and coastal protection and conservation, and those two groups are Nature Seekers and the Environment Research Institute in Charlottesville, which we call ERIC for short. So those two groups have been focusing on coastal protection as well as capacity building of communities, rural communities, and vulnerable groups in the areas where they're located.
Thank you. And now, could you just explain why was it so important to give grants to those two groups for the work that they're doing?
So for Nature Seekers, they are located in the northeast area of Trinidad and Tobago, and that particular area is one of the areas in Trinidad where we have the greatest concentration of leatherback turtles coming up to nest during the turtle months of April to September. And over the many years, historically, that area, the Matura area, has been threatened because of lack of education and awareness and hunting of these turtles. So we saw it fit to invest in Nature Seekers because they were interested in really building the capacity of community members in the Matura area to inform them of the importance of sea turtle conservation, train them as tour guides, involve them in ecotourism, just generally build their awareness so that they can actually see the turtles as a resource to be used to enhance their livelihoods rather as a pest or something to hunt for fun. In terms of ERIC, they have been working with about three community groups in the northeast Tobago area to empower them and also educate them in terms of their role in protected area co-management. So they have been involved in first aid training, scuba diving training, bird watching, bird monitoring, forest monitoring, underwater scuba dives to monitor the reefs. They have actually been playing a crucial role in monitoring the actual coastal and marine resources in Northeast Tobago. So the community members are the ones who can see, you know what, the reef is not looking so good, are we seeing less turtles, are we not seeing any sharks? So they are the ones who have an active role in actually monitoring and making a contribution to protected area management.
And so what has been the return on the funding that you've put into these two projects?
Right, so since about 1998, we have funded Nature Seekers. So they've received four grants in total. And over these years, we have seen Nature Seekers grow from a very small community group to one of the most well-established turtle conservation groups in the Caribbean. Many groups from other countries actually come to Nature Seekers for training in terms of capacity building and development. And we often have many peer-to-peer exchanges with other islands. And Nature Seekers has evolved over the many years in terms of just being persons interested in turtles to actually diversifying into ecotourism as well as forest management, because they see the ridge-to-reef connection in terms of all of these ecosystem services and functions. In terms of ERIC, they have also been able to bridge the gap between policy and grassroots initiatives, because the project that they're working on is related to a large FAO JAF-funded project involved in protected area co-management. So the FAO is the Food and Agriculture Organization. It's another UN agency that also provides funding to community groups and also does work in the area of general environment, food, and agriculture. So there is a large FAO project that's implemented nationally involved in protected area co-management. But that project actually lacks a bit of community implementation. So the Small Grants Program project with ERIC helps to actually include the community members in crucial decision-making and stakeholder consultations. It gives them a voice in terms of what they want to see out of these national projects, and it really empowers them and puts them in a place where they can make a change in their community. So it's these small initiatives, very small initiatives over many years, linking together to create something that's more sustainable in the future.
I personally wasn't aware that the UNDP UNDP did this, because I think of UNDP's work in terms of human development,
yeah.
And maybe you can explain that connection to us.
Yeah, so as you said, UNDP does a lot of work in terms of policy and high-level work with the government, but this is where SGP is so beautiful and so unique, because SGP, as I said before, bridges the gap between the policy and what's happening on the ground. So many times we have all of these technical agencies and governments working at a level far beyond the reach of the basic community member who does not understand technical jargon. So SGP is really there to help them understand what the Sustainable Development Goals are about. So they may not necessarily understand the technicalities of it, but they are actually the ones protecting the environment. They are the ones who are actually reducing pollution, picking up litter, saving the sea turtles. So it's really very, very important to engage community members, regular citizens, and letting them know that they have an actual role to play in achieving the targets of SDG number 14. They may not know what the SDG is, but they actually have a power to make a difference.